of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again this week is Brian Lockhart from the Marine Corps Movie Minute. Welcome back, Brian.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, it's been a fun week so far, and let's get a little more inebriated.
Yeah, I would say the drinks have been flowing.
Definitely, no question about that. So episode 84 begins with Hiltz continuing to give advice on the dangers of the moonshine that they've made, and goes all the way to Roger exclaiming how great the booze actually is. So we started yesterday discussing about the fact that what possibly is the reason why that Hiltz is so concerned about people spilling any of the drinks. You know, are they concerned because it's a waste of booze? Are they concerned because it's flammable? Are they concerned for other reasons? You know, the thing is you can it could be any of them, really. They never give us a definitive answer as to what it is. I think in the end it makes the most sense that this is just flammable.
They give us a little more ammunition for that, a little more fuel for the fire, if you will, to prove that when he says no smoking while you're drinking. But it's like, all right. So my guess is he says don't smoke either while
don't
you're drinking
after
or after
you drink. After you
drink. After you drink, right. So, like, the fumes are still in your mouth. You're going to explode is the way I took it. In fact, it immediately made me think of the movie Better Off Dead.
Oh, my God. I was just about to say that.
With Ricky's mom.
With the mother, yes.
Yeah, the mother drinks gasoline or kerosene or something, and then she lights up, and for the rest of the movie, she's got that bandage under her mouth.
Yeah, and John that's actually really funny. That I was thinking the exact same thing. I was waiting for you to say what your reference was, and then I was going to say, oh, well, I was thinking of Better Off Dead.
Yeah. Great minds.
Exactly. No question about that. Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that's definitely a great explanation as to why you shouldn't be smoking after you drink this stuff.
Exactly. Sorry, your mom blew up.
Yeah, but it's so interesting that he's warning everybody. You know, everyone who's going by, he's saying, just be sure. Don't drink. Don't do this. It's just really funny that he does it. And you know, while he's pouring, you know, you have Goff next to him, giving him energy along the way by pouring a little bit into his mouth each time.
I think that's great that the three of them have their own canteens, and they're like, and it's clearly larger than any amount that the other guys are getting in their little cups that they're pouring out. So it's like, hey, we take the time and effort, we're going to get good and stoned, you know, more or less. And, you know, meanwhile, everybody else gets a little, you know, half a cup, maybe a shot worth, who knows, maybe some, exactly. Some seem to get
and
a little
in this scene,
others, you know,
that's true. And in this scene, you see that he spills a lot.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, most of this minute is, you know, just shown while he's pouring and spilling and drinking and stuff like that. There isn't that much exposition that goes on. But again, you have Goff shouting out his one-liners. This time he screams out, no taxation without representation.
Yeah. Which, again, is it goes along good with the whole playing Yankee Doodle, you know, up the rules, down the British, you know, no taxation without representation. I mean, it's a very American thing to yell at a British person.
Yes. Yes. Now, do you know the history of that that phrase?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I think it was attributed to James Otis in 1761. I had to look that up exactly, but it came.
Yeah, I was gonna say, wow, that's pretty good.
I pulled that right.
I know a little bit about this, yeah. But it was.
See, I was setting you up. It was basically what because of the Stamp Act or what I forget which act it was, but I think it might have been the Stamp Act where, you know, the colonials basically formed their own parliament and said to, you know, it's basically if you tax us without letting us have a say, I mean, obviously the British wanted to pay for the French and Indian War and thought the colonials should pay their fair share. And that's where a lot of that came from. Plus it was a way to keep the colonials in line and be like, you know, as time went on. But I believe the full, I guess I didn't realize this, but the actual full quote is taxation without representation is tyranny. And that's
correct.
Originally came from. which is true.
Yes. Yeah, they take out the tyranny part of it. You know,
yeah.
That's less important.
You know,
what I found interesting is the fact that it didn't originate in America. It's actually something that came from Ireland.
Yeah, okay. I did see that too.
I mean, obviously, you know, the colonies, it makes sense that they would eventually, you know, take it from there or whatever. It's just interesting the fact that it was, because it says it was developed during the English Civil War when the parliamentarian John Hampden refused to pay ship money tax. And that started the whole idea. But then it was just no taxation without representation. It was a headline that was in the newspaper at the time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like taxation without representation is tyranny is like a great, like, closing line to a speech that you would give, or like a letter that you're sent, an official letter. But that, you know, but no taxation without representation is a bumper sticker. It's a slogan. You know what I mean? Like, that's something you would, and again, or a headline like that. It grabs you, but it's a slogan you can keep saying. You're not going to walk around taxation without representation is tyranny. That's less of a slogan or a catchphrase, I guess, if you will.
No, because part of what they were trying to do for years was to get representation of the colonies in British Parliament. Even Ben Franklin was one of the ones who tried. No, sorry, Ben Franklin was opposed to it. He didn't think that they needed it, which makes me wonder why, because, you know, maybe it was from the perspective that he's like, okay, we don't want to be a part of their parliament. We want to be separate.
Right. Yeah. It's possible.
Maybe that was the way that he was looking at it or whatever. And did you notice that right after he takes the swig from Goff, Hiltz looks at him and gives him like a double take?
Yes.
Yeah. He like looks at him and like, what? You know, is that a double take that okay, you're not giving me enough? Or is it that you're drinking? Why are you drinking? Because Goff then takes a swig himself.
Yeah, because again, they all have their own canteens. And that's Steve McQueen's, because Goff has his still hanging to his side. So did he drink all his? I don't know. Yeah, he does kind of just give him that look like.
Well, Gosh is a lush. There's no question about that. I mean, again, you see him drinking from Hiltz's canteen. There's no question about that. It also, it pretty much looks like it's empty.
Yeah,
the way that they're pouring it, you know, the way they're putting it to their lips and pouring it. But, you know, then he looks at the very last part when he looks at it, you get the expression on his face that he just finished it.
Yeah,
that Goff finished it.
Yeah,
and maybe that was part of the problem that Hiltz was having. You know, that why is he continuing to drink from my canteen and he actually just finished it?
Yeah. It's a little bit of business that Steve McQueen did there, you know, but it's funny. It's a funny look.
Yes. As we mentioned, the tone of this movie is done really well, where they're able to throw little things in here and there, which works really well with the whole story and the way that to try to keep things lighter.
Yeah.
You know, a little more humorous. I love how you tell someone, don't get stoned.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, don't get stoned, my friend.
Yeah.
You know, he's not giving him that much.
Right. How strong is this stuff? Or is it just one of those things because none of them have drank in a while that a little bit might give him a buzz? You know, so it's like, hey, pace yourself, guys. It's been a while.
It could be. But again, each one of them is getting a little bit in their cup. They're not getting, you know, they're giving each one a little more than a shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as if everyone's getting a full glass or a full cup.
Right.
Of the booze. I mean, personally, I don't drink, so I can't relate to this at all. And I've never drunk, so I've never liked these potent drinks. I mean, like what Goff did last week when he pretty much, you know, kept coughing. I would do that with a little drop. You know, I don't even need to take a big sip.
Gotcha.
Or something like that. Yeah. So no, that's not for me. And then it switches to showing us the three heads. You have Ramsay, Roger, and Mac, and then Ramsay goes, "Let's drink to Tom."
Yeah.
So the others, you know, they toast. They say to Tom, which is a little foreshadowing here for us. You know, for anyone who's seen the movie and knows what's about to happen. And I love the fact that of the three of them, Roger's the only one who actually starts coughing.
Yeah. but their reaction is almost Three Stooges level. Like, it's like, exactly. You know, like, you know, like when they drink something that's real potent. And because if you notice, like, they're trying to kind of keep their composure, but they didn't expect it to be so harsh, maybe, you know?
Right. No, and then it's something that's very interesting that Roger says that closes off this minute. He goes, in the 3 years, 7 months, and approximately 2 weeks I've been in the bag, this is the most extraordinary stuff I've ever tasted. It's shattering. Now, one of the things that is great about that is he's actually told us pretty much when he was captured.
Yes.
You know, if you do the math, so if this is July 4th, 1943, which means that you go back 3 years, so that's 19... Actually, that doesn't even make sense anymore, the amount of time. He basically says that he was captured in the end of 1939.
Yeah.
Like, right after the war started. He's pretty much captured right after the war started.
Yeah, I think I read in real life he was shot down during Dunkirk.
Okay, but Dunkirk was in 1940.
Yeah. Roger Bushell had been shot down during the Dunkirk evacuation of 1940, and by the time he was transferred to Stalag Luft 3, in October 1942, he already made two escape attempts in his previous camp, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so...
Right, so again, the timing seems a little off with what he's saying, because again, if you say that... I mean, the real escape happened in March of 1944, okay?
Yeah.
But if the movie... So let's even go further and say that the movie takes place in 1944. So if it takes place in 1944, that means that... So that's approximately October or November 1940, he was captured. So, I mean, Dunkirk... when was the evacuation of Dunkirk?
You know what? I don't remember. And it didn't say in this article.
I think it was
1940. It was definitely 40, yeah.
It was May to June 1940, which again that still doesn't fit in with the what it would mean is that Roger here, as opposed to the real Roger, was shot down a few months after Dunkirk, because Dunkirk ended in June 1940, so that was pretty much again saying that this takes place in 1944, so it means that would be 4 years from Dunkirk. And so we're talking—we're 5 months short, based on what he said.
Well, they're playing. You know, obviously they play a little fast and loose with this, you know, because of, you know, like I said, it didn't look like March when they were escaping, you know, in the movie. You know, clearly, you know, the Americans weren't there during the escape time, so they, you know, clearly they didn't think a Movies by Minutes podcast was going to go back and try and figure out the exact date.
That's true.
Roger.
That's very true. So,
and honestly, I think they should have known, but but you know,
they should have thought about it 58 years ago. You know that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they put a lot of thought and effort, and you know, for as much as liberties as this movie takes, when I was reading about the real escape. They do get a lot of things right.
Yes, there's no question about
it. You get the gist of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've read the book, you'll see also that there's a lot of stuff they get right.
Okay.
The final week of this podcast, I'm going to be interviewing every day a different person who's connected to the real story. Oh, you know, nice. People who've done their work on the history, and there's even one of them that's a relative of someone who was one of the escapees.
Wow.
So that's going to be really fascinating when I get to that in a few months. I mean, we're right now at the beginning of next week. We'll be hitting the halfway mark of this. So you know, I still got double what we're doing so far, but I'm looking forward to having those discussions with them to try to get a clearer understanding about the differences between the real escape and the one shown in the movie. Based on obviously everything that we, you know, have discussed and things like that. So
yeah, I always appreciate a good, this is the movie and this is real life comparison, you know, thing. So I'll be looking forward to listening to that.
Right now, I mean, in real life, the Tom was discovered in September 43. You know, so it didn't happen on July 4th.
Yeah.
So and you know they were still able to get out with Harry 6 months later in March. You know, the whole question then remains is, you know, which, you know, right now we're talking about the time that Roger mentioned. I mean, they mentioned it so specifically. That's the that's the thing that gets me here. You know, they
I think it's for us, the audience. and not really, for factual. It's kind of like, yeah, we're getting close. We're going to celebrate. It's going to be soon, everybody. You signed up for a movie called The Great Escape. You're going to get the escape before too long. Like it's a little nod to let everybody know, like, it, because this is a long movie. I think honestly they could have, this could be a whole series. Like this could be, I could see a HBO type, series coming back where you detail everything like long form, because this is a fascinating story. So I appreciate the fact it's a little bit longer of a movie, without being too long,
Correct. It does. Yeah, no question about that. It doesn't feel long when you watch it.
No, the movie flies. The movie's great. And I think that if it was like, 3 hours of just depression and, just horribleness that these guys are going through, and not the kind of upbeat, like, hey, these guys are on a mission and let's watch them do this mission. Honestly, I think it gets tense in moments for sure. Especially once they escape. I think it's not so much a fun, fanciful lark anymore. It gets pretty tense, like the movie.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty awesome, some of the stuff that they do. It's their action scene,
That's true. I also like the fact that the phrase that Roger says, that he says when he says that he's been in the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tried looking it up and I didn't find any reference to, most of the, when you say something's in the bag, it means that it's known and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or obviously what we know about of carrying a bag, but when you say something is being in the bag, it pretty much means that, okay, it's all set.
Well, there's a phrase, half in the bag, which means you're basically so drunk. And I think that kind of came from like, I didn't call you last night. I was like half asleep, half in my, my bag, I was half in the bag, fell asleep, that type of thing. So in the bag, do you think that means the whole time he's been sober?
Maybe. Maybe. I mean, there's also the phrase of saying that something is bagged means that you to hunt or capture or kill an animal or bird. So maybe he's saying for as long as that I've been, captured.
Well, that,
from that perspective, maybe.
Yeah, and knowing the phrase half in the bag for being drunk, I still didn't make the connection of like, I took it as for the whole time that I've been captured in the bag, like in prison. Right. That's how I took it. But then I kind of, from there, I'm like, well, does it mean he's been, in the bag? I'm sober this whole time, because the whole time I've been captured, I haven't been able to drink. So, and again, I didn't know if that was like one of those British slangs, like that. I've just wasn't.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So do you have anything else for this minute?
No, but I just wanted to say that, in the 1 year, 5 months and 3 weeks that I've been podcasting, this is the most extraordinary show I've ever been on. And just don't do the math on that, though, all right? Because I'm not sure it's going to add up when it's all said and done.
Wait, it was when you were evacuated from Dunkirk,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, well, some would say...
You were evacuated from Grenada.
Yeah, I was going to say, some would say that Heartbreak Ridge Minute was my Dunkirk,
There you go.
No, I don't have anything else.
All right, very good. Why don't you tell everyone once again how they can get in touch with you?
Well, as we mentioned, Heartbreak Ridge, that was my movie of choice doing the Marine Corps Movie Minute. We did Heartbreak Ridge, the Clint Eastwood classic, 1 minute at a time. If you want to find us, we're all podcasts can be found under the Marine Corps Movie Minute.
All right, excellent. While you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to the show. You can visit our website, thegreatescapeminute.com. You can visit our Facebook group, The Cooler. You can write to us on Twitter, Great Escape MXM, or you can contact us by email, thegreatminute@gmail.com. So, Brian, you want to come back tomorrow and finish off the week?
If you'll have me, yes.
All right. Just you might want to sober up a little bit.
I'll try. I can't.
A little bit.
I'll try.
Not too much.
But what fun is that?
All right. Well, until tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.